The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
So I'd like to discuss two of my favorite koans today. They're among my favorites because they're easy to remember, I suppose, and because they always seem to offer some insight that's applicable to my life. And so, of course, when I went back to read them and started working with them this week, I realized I didn't really understand them. and I think this is a common occurrence in Zen practice, this return to not knowing. And of course, you know, in most of the circumstances of our lives, when we don't know something, it's uncomfortable. It brings up questions of competence, feelings of self-doubt, maybe fear. In Zen, don't know if I want to say we learn to be comfortable with these feelings, but we do learn to sit with them. Actually, when we think we understand something, it separates us from what's going on, from what's actually going on. I know. How do I really? Our practice is one of continually realizing that we don't know. We don't have the answer to this great matter, the matter of life and death. Facing life and death on the cushion, hopefully we learn a little humility and a little patience with ourselves and with others. So the first of these two koans is Tongshan's No Cold or Heat. Very fitting for the cold snap that we've had recently. Sometimes it's Tongshan, which is the Chinese translation version of the name, and other times the Japanese version is Tozan, so I'll use Tozan. So a monk asked Tozan, when cold and heat come, how can we avoid them? Tozan said, why don't you go to the place where there is no cold or heat? The monk said, what is the place where there is no cold or heat? Tozan said, when it's cold, the cold kills you. When it's hot, the heat kills you. So we can interpret this koan literally. The monk is struggling with the cold in the zendo or the heat in the kitchen. We all experience this. Maybe we were stuck one day this week going out with a coat that wasn't heavy enough for the weather, and we regretted it and kicked ourselves for leaving the house without having checked our weather app before we left. And so this monk who's dealing with discomfort wants to know, what can you tell me about dealing with discomfort? What can you tell me about dealing with all of the unpleasant things in my life? And of course, Tozan says something that's a little funny. It's a little inscrutable. He says, go where there is no cold or heat. Now, I don't think he's advising that the monk move to a temperate climate. There is no place where there is where we will never experience cold or never experience heat. There is no place in our lives where we will never experience uncomfortable things, where we will never experience pain or guilt or shame or difficulty. So in fact, Tozan's statement doesn't literally make any sense. There is no place where we are not subject to cold or heat. And so, of course, this monk is a little dense. He doesn't get it. But he's persistent. He asks for clarification. So we have to give him some credit. What is the place where there is no cold and heat? Dozan says, the cold kills you. The heat kills you. When you go outside and it's 20 degrees, and if you're in that cold long enough, it cuts to the bone. There is no separation. It's cold. Ah. So the language, in the language of Zen literature, the Zen koans of this age, when someone says, when a teacher says that something kills you, he's talking about no self. There's no separation between myself and the cold that cuts to the bone. And of course, this is the way of Zen, not separating from whatever is going on, not separating from what is present. If it's hot, it's really hot and humid, it makes me, or it might make me, very uncomfortable and very cranky. Now, in one sense, this crankiness might be a way of separating from what's going on. But, you know, from another perspective, this practice is not to impose on ourselves some idealized way of dealing with the heat. It's not sitting like a rock. I'm a Zen student and I'm one with the heat. It's not what it's about. Actually, we're simply encouraged to be aware of ourselves and our reactions. And sometimes the best that I can do, if it's a hot day and I haven't slept and it's hot and sticky, is to just muddle on through and be cranky. It's the best I can do. In modern terms, Tozan might say, own your crankiness. He might say, own your discomfort. Own your fatigue. See it. Be it. Don't separate from it. This is the Zen way. In some spiritual traditions, we might say, transcend the heat. But transcendence to me implies something beyond our actual experience. It somehow implies that we get away from it. And in the Zen sense, if we want to use that word, transcendence is to experience something as it actually is, just as it actually is. And in this way, perhaps, we go beyond it. This is living each moment, moment by moment, precious for its uniqueness. So it's actually very simple. In the commentary for this koan, it says, when the wind moves, the grasses bend down. Where the water runs, streams form. So simple. This koan is not just about cold and heat, however. It's about all of our dualistic ideas. Whatever it is that makes us uncomfortable, or that makes us think that we know. How do we respond to praise or blame, success or failure? How do we respond to sickness and health, life and death? We're alive in this moment. Someday we will die. We are sick in this moment. Someday, tomorrow, we may feel better. Our practice is to be completely in each moment, to encounter each moment. This leads me to the second koan that I'd like to discuss, with it, which is Master Ma is unwell. Great Master Ma was unwell. The temple superintendent asked him, "Teacher, how has your venerable health been in recent days?" The great master said, "Sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha." Now, I studied this koan a long while ago and only remembered the teacher's answer. I didn't actually remember the question. I remembered sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. And that was the connection I was drawing to the previous koan about cold and heat. When it's sunny, it's hot out. When it's dark, it's cold out. And it's a very pithy saying, and I thought, I think, you know, sort of what I took away from it, what I thought it was referring to was, and I think it is at one level, it's referring to similar to perhaps the previous koan. Maybe we could think of sun-faced Buddha as being good days, and we could think of moon-faced Buddha as being bad days, good times or bad times. Some days, things seem to be going pretty well, and we may feel a degree of happiness and contentment. Other days, not so much. The circumstances of our lives, something someone says to us, the way we slept the night before, it's just a little harder. We're a little crankier. And of course, Master Ma is saying, whether it's a sunny day or a cloudy day, we are a Buddha. We have Buddha nature. But I did a little reading as I was preparing for the talk, and it was just lovely to understand this koan in a slightly different way. Supposedly, Mazu died on the day after this exchange took place. So we can assume that he was seriously ill. Actually, I was touched as I went up to bow at the altar with the picture of Bernie Tetsugen Glassman, who I think I personally only met twice, once when he came here to the Zendo and once when I took a half-day course with him at, I don't remember, Shambhala, one of the centers here in town. I don't remember where it was, but it was actually, I spent a few hours with him, and it was very different from, you know, what I thought a Zen teacher was. He didn't wear robes. He was very kind of dour, not super warm and friendly and fuzzy. But really there, really present. And really tough about what this practice is about. I remember a student, he didn't want to sit in the room that we were in. We sat for a few minutes and he said, "Let's go out for a walk." And he took us over to Tompkins Square Park and we sat around in a circle with all the noise and the people walking around. And he said, "You know, what do you want to ask me?" And one of the students in the class said, "You know, I don't feel..." I don't remember the whole story, but he had a desire to go off to the Far East somewhere where there was some thing that he could do that was a way of being of service. But he said, "I don't feel settled in myself. I just don't feel that it's the right time to go off and do this thing." And Bernie basically said, "What are you waiting for? Go. Go and be of service. If you can be of service, be of service. What are you waiting for?" And I thought it was a very profound teaching. And he didn't coddle him. He didn't say, "Yeah, I understand you don't feel great." Not at all. He said, you want to be of service? Do it, damn it. So I took, you know, that was a lovely couple hours with one of our great ancestors, who is no longer on this earth. So Master Ma was unwell. How are we present when we are ill? How are we present when someone else is ill? In this koan, we only get the briefest summary of the interaction between a temple superintendent and his revered teacher, who is about to pass away. We can imagine the candlelight in the room, the worry, the sadness. The superintendent asks just a very ordinary question. How has your health been in recent days? And the great master says, Sun Face Buddha, Moon Face Buddha. So it turns out that in Buddhist cosmology, as we know, there are innumerable Buddhas throughout space and time, including the 1,000 Buddhas of the auspicious Kalpa. And a Kalpa, of course, is an unimaginably long period of time. And so, as it turns out in this cosmology, the Sun-Face Buddha is the 202nd Buddha of these 1,000 Buddhas, who is said to have a lifespan of 1,800 years. And on the other hand, the Moon-Face Buddha is the 858th Buddha. And he has a lifespan of just one day, 24 hours. So Ma, this, you know, as you can tell, it kind of tears me up. I mean, on his deathbed, he's still teaching, right? He's saying, a Buddha with a long life, a Buddha with a short life. He's kind of perhaps chiding him a little bit, us a little bit for our dualistic thinking, for categorizing things as long things and short things. There is only Ma's life. There is only your life. Is it long? Is it short? In this circumstance, it is Ma's life, and it is ending. Of what use are labels? The teacher, Tenki, said, Sun Face, long or short, what realm is this? It is not to be understood as a carving, a sculpture, or an icon. Joshu called it an oak tree. Yunmen called it a piece of dry shit. What about your own Sun Face Buddha, Moon Face Buddha? Is it something long or something short? How do you understand it? Set your eyes on the absolutely inextricable within yourself. We have good days and bad days. Some days it is hot, and some days it is bitterly cold. We are alive now, and one day we will die. There are flowers on the altar, and the sun is peeking through the clouds. Eternity is in this moment. The world is found in a mote of dust. Practice diligently. Do not squander your life.